You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405 on this beautiful, bright, sunshiny, but a little chilly day here in Southern California. We're going to be talking today about how to help business owners get what they want from their business. And we have reached out across the country all the way to Cleveland, Ohio, to talk to Jim Jelinek. So welcome, Jim.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're going to have a great time today. We're going to be talking a little bit about what you do in your business and how you help businesses get what they want, business owners get what they want from their business. So tell me, how do you do that?
Well, what I do is I help owners to get more of what they want out of their business. I do this by helping them to implement a complete, proven system made up of simple, practical tools, which actually helps them to achieve three things. The three things we call are vision, traction, and healthy. Vision, from the standpoint of working with our leadership team to get 100% crystal clear as to the vision, as to where the company is going. Traction, from the standpoint of helping the leadership team to become more disciplined, more accountable, so that they can actually execute in order to make that vision a reality. And then thirdly, it's healthy, and that's where we work with the leadership teams, and we help them to become more functional, more cohesive, and just more healthy, because quite frankly, Will, that often is not the case. And then what we find is that as goes that leadership team, so goes the entire organization. So by helping to build the team in these three areas, and actually helping to build what we call to strengthen the six key components of a business, we actually help them to make their business more fun, more efficient, and basically help them to get more out of their business. That's kind of in a nutshell what we do.
Well, that's amazing. That's really amazing. Now, so tell me, Jim, how did you get into this business? What's your story?
So my story is I started life as an accountant, CPA, if you will, but I spent most of my life in manufacturing. And what we did, I was a former CEO and president of a company in Ohio. We actually made manufacturers of a product used on nuclear submarines. And during that time I was in that company, we grew it from about $2 million in revenues to $12 million in revenue. And then we actually sold that company for about $30 million several years ago. During that time, I was actually in an organization called Vistage, which is a CEO leadership organization. And what I found there, it actually helped make me a better leader and make better decisions and get better results. And what I found was I actually enjoyed working with people and owners to help people such as myself to get more of what they wanted out of their business. So we sold the company, and I went and I became a Vistage chair, which I do as well right now. And during the course of being a Vistage chair, I actually deal right now with about 30 companies. And the range of those companies is from $5 million to about $300 million. So it's a wide swath of companies. A couple of years ago, I came across a program called EOS, Entrepreneurial Operating Systems, based on the book by Gina Whitman called Traction. And I will tell you, Will, when I saw this, I said, this is the best operating system I've ever seen, because it's very hard to implement and execute strategy. Easy to say, difficult to do. And this actually gives a structure and an organization. And what I love about it is simple, practical, field-tested tools. So what I realized is, even though we did well at the company that I ran, we could have done much, much better and with a lot less scar tissue, if you know what I mean. So what I decided to do when I saw this, I really have a passion for helping businesses to succeed. One of the things I believe is that in this country, one good thing is jobs and career paths, so that we can help people to have great careers and great families and help build better communities and a better nation. So I love helping companies like this. So I decided to become what they call an EOS implementer, professional EOS implementer. And that's what I'm doing now, and basically working with companies to help them to get more out of their business. It's a short history.
Well, all right. So tell me a little bit about what EOS does for a company.
So what we do is EOS stands for Entrepreneurial Operating System. And again, we will come in there and work with the leadership team. Now, not just any leadership team. We really need leadership teams that are open-minded, that are growth-oriented, and really passionate about taking things, you know, taking their business to the next level, or getting the most that they can out of the business for everyone involved, including the owners and the employees and everyone. So what we do is we work with them, and basically we have a program that takes about 2 years. Now, someone could self-implement. They could go back and read the books. There's several books out there by Gina Wickman that are very good. But when we go in, what we do is we work with the team for a two-year program. And it starts off with a 90-minute meeting. And in the 90-minute meeting, we really explain to them all of the theory and the science and the facts and all the actually proven success of this process. And then we go through a thing called Focus Day, where we get everybody focused, trying to teach them some of the tools. And one of the things that we do, it's very interesting, is I've seen a lot of companies that they have a lot of good ideas, but they cannot execute. So they go out and they go to a lot of seminars, a lot of workshops, and they get a lot of knowledge, but it really is difficult to go back and execute. So we start a little bit different, where we get right out of the gate and we start getting them into giving them some tools to help them to be able to execute and to strengthen what they call the six key components of their business. And then from there, we continue for a two-year program, and we teach them how to do such things as implementing some tools and getting on the same page on their vision. Perhaps it might be good if I just went through the six key components.
I think that'd be a good thing. I think that would be good. Tell what are the six key components of the entrepreneurial operating system?
Okay. So what we found out, what Gina Wickman found out, was kind of a discovery by working with many, many companies that he did over the years, was that every business has many, many issues going on at one time. And anybody that runs a business out there in the audience knows that when you're running a business, there are many, many issues. We always say 136 issues going on at one time. And what we found out was that if you can strengthen your business in six key components, a lot of the issues goes away, because the root cause of the issues you're facing are actually deeply rooted in weakness in one of the six key components. So the first of the six key components is what they call the vision component. Now, the vision component, basically, the way we strengthen that is we get everybody to crystallize what the vision is, and then to get everybody on the same page on the leadership team, and eventually drive that all the way through the entire company, so that everybody on that in the company is basically rowing in the same direction, all headed towards a common objective. We have a couple of tools for that we use. We get them basically to answer eight simple questions, all in unison. And once they do that, we drive it through the entire organization. The next thing is we strengthen the people component. And I will tell you, in my experience, this is absolutely crucial, because you cannot execute on any vision unless you have great people. But here we get out of, you know, some of the terms like A players and superstars, et cetera, and really try to get down to what is a great person in your organization. You could be a great person in one organization and not another. So what we do is we work with the team to take them on a journey to find out what is a great person in your organization. And the goal is to get the right people in the right seats. And we have some tools for that. The next thing that we do is we actually work on what we call the data component. Now, the data component basically means running your business based on hard data, as opposed to opinions or guesses, that type of thing, personalities. So basically it means we get hard data, because hard data doesn't lie. And when you get your business run on hard data, then you really have a pulse on where that business is going. And it's based on facts. And then if there's something happens that's going wrong, you notice it quickly, and you are able to go back and take action. But now, once you've actually got the vision component strong, where everybody's on the same page, and the people component is strong, that you've got the right people in the right seats, and the data component is strong, then what you've done is you're already on your way to creating this very lucid, transparent, open organization. At that point in time, it's pretty easy to see all of the impurities and the flaws and the challenges and the problems, which, by the way, every business has. There's no business that doesn't have them. my business, I had them, so we all have them. The key is, do you recognize them and do you take action? And that leads us to what they call the issues component. And the issues component basically means getting very good with solving, identifying and solving your problem. And the issues component basically means you create an organization where you have a lot of trust and open and honest dialogue, and people are basically not afraid to put issues on the table and list them and talk about them and then solving them. So we have two tools that help you to make sure that at every level of the organization, all of the issues are being listed. And then we have what they call issue processing track called IDS. First is to identify the issue, then discuss the issue, and then solve the issue. But this is really a very effective program because there is time spent identifying because you got to get to the root cause. But the discussion is not what I call, and I've seen in my life, the endless discussion. It basically says, look, let's really identify the root cause, have open and honest dialogue. And then the discussion, everybody goes around one time, says what has to be said, so we're not politicking, and then focus on solving it. And that means action plans, so this thing is solved and put to bed so you can move on. You know, a lot of organizations I've seen, and probably in mine as well, early on before I learned some of these things, people tend to kind of kick the can on issues or problems and get by with duct tape and twine and try to get by just to get the day-to-day. But eventually those, they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then you have train wreck. So the idea here is to set up an organization where you are at all levels, standing up the issues and knocking them down. Now, then we go to what they call the process component, and that basically is based upon the fact that every business has about 6 to 10 key processes. And what we do here is we say it really is necessary to be successful in business to have consistency and to systemize your business so that you have systems in place that you know at all time that all the methods of, you know, identifying leads and market interest and getting sales and delivering your product to your customers, all the accounting and financial processes and the customer service processes, they need to be consistent and they need to be systemized. So what we do is we focus here on making sure that they're well documented and to make sure they are followed by all, or process discipline, if you will. So that's the fifth component, is what they call the process component. And then the next component is called the traction component. We have a saying, and that is that vision without traction is hallucination. And this is where we take it to the ground and we say, you know, in an organization, you need to have discipline, you need to have accountability, and we have some tools to really heighten the discipline and accountability so that you can actually get execution. So what we find, that's a very, kind of in a nutshell here, I've just given you about a 50-minute meeting here in about five, so bear with me. But basically the whole premise is that if you strengthen those six key components of your business, what will happen is a lot of the other issues go away because they will never arrive because you're strong in those six key components. And I have actually seen this happen, so it's just amazing. A lot of little problems we see are because we didn't strengthen those components, make the right decisions, take the right actions, and do it as a team. So when we go into an organization, we work with the leadership team, and in a two-year period, our goal is to train them. We will be with them every step of the way, training them. And at the end of 2 years, we want to turn the system over to them so that they will run their business. We're not in there to be there for a lifetime. We are basically in there for 2 years, and then we turn it over to them, and they have a strong team, and they can continue going after that. Once they have that strong leadership team in place, and that is driven right down to the, you know, foot soldier, if you will, and everybody's in the same page, then the business can move on from there and do a lot of great things. So, Will, does that give you a kind of a nutshell?
Yeah, that's very interesting. So tell me some stories about companies that you've worked with. What kinds of changes have you seen, even in the early stages?
Well, a lot of times what you find out is that they're not all on the same page as to the vision. It's kind of funny. You can sit in a room and you ask, you know, what is your vision for the company? What would this company look like 10 years down the road? What's your big goal? And you find out people are not on the same page. So one of the things that I've seen in some companies, if they don't have a strong team, is that they are not on the same page on some very, very key areas. So, for example, what are the core values of a given organization? sometimes they can't, if they can't find the plaque that has it on there, they can't even go find them. So much less to use them as a driving force in the organization. So one of the things is people not being on the same page with respect to core values, core focus, where the company is going, and what are the priorities? What are the 3 to 7 things that has to be done? So I guess I see a lot of companies that are not on the same page. What they are involved in is very diligent. They're trying to take care of their customer, but it gets harder and harder. So sometimes they get stuck. They hit a ceiling because what used to work when they were a $3 million company, now they're a $10 or $20 million company, it no longer works, and they've kind of got disconnected. So one of the big things I see is that they're just not on the same page on some critical areas. And that's what we help to do, is get them back on the same page. Probably if I had to say the number one thing that I see is not having the right people in the right seats.
And that's so because, how do we get the right people in the right seats? What are how does somebody even know who the right person is, and they were the right seat?
Great question. One is, everything is kind of easier said than done, so that's why you have to have a process to go back and do this where you can actually be objective about it. You know, a lot of companies, people evolve over time. As the companies grow, sometimes the people are, the job's about growing them, or sometimes they've hired the wrong person and they don't want to go back and make the person feel bad, even that person is doing damage to the company, or sometimes you just hired whoever there was available at the time. And sometimes there's leadership that is not good. So there's many, many things. So we could spend all day, but the problem is we spend all day discussing, we wouldn't do anything. So the important thing is that we have to have a process. So what I love about EOS is they make it simple. I would say everything about EOS is simple, 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 and effective. So to your question, I'll be specific now, Will, is we say that the right people are those who have the same core values, you know, the company core values. And your core values are, those are basically what differentiates you. Those are the values and the beliefs that you would hold as an organization that makes you who you are. It's how you want to run your business, how you want to engage with the world. So it's what you believe in. So what we say as a person, we go through a journey to find out what are the core values of the organization. We have a process for that. And then we make sure that those core values are used in the hiring process and the disciplinary process, the promotion process. So right people are basically those people who share your core values and share your culture. Now, the right people, as far as then we say the right seats. So the right seats comes down to basically having what we call the unique ability or the God-given ability or the, you know, natural aptitude for the job, so that they have the ability to actually do the job. They also want the job, and they have the capacity to do the job. So basically, we have a tool called the accountability chart and the people analyzer. And the people analyzer actually is a way to go back and look at every individual. And it's a discipline. It's a discipline to actually look at your people, where they are today. One, it helps the organization, but it helps them as well. And I've seen some people that were helped greatly from this. Some found out that wasn't the right organization for them. Some found out they were in the right organization, but in the wrong seat. So the people analyzer helps you go through and say, does this person share our core values and fit our culture? And then, is this person in the right seat where they can fulfill their best destiny and be of the most use for the company? So that's how we do the people component.
All right. So now tell me a little bit about what kind of problems a company would be feeling that would cause them, you know, that we would like to suggest that they pick up the phone and call an EOS implementer.
Well, one of the things I would say is, one of the questions, you know, entrepreneurs and people and leaders need to ask themselves is, are you getting all you want out of your business? And somebody sounds trite, but they're simple, but they're very, very effective. Is, you know, are you running your business, or is your business running you? Are things working the way they should? So if you're a business owner and you want to get more out of your business, you might want to come back and say, are things working the way that they used to work? You know, a lot of times you have what they call growth. And as you grow, when you're running a 10-man company and now you're running a 50-man company, you find out that a lot of things that used to work back then don't work now. You've hit the ceiling or a barrier to growth. So you may have good people, but maybe they're just worn out. Maybe they don't have they don't have the skills. When you get to be a larger company, you need processes, procedures, different skill sets, maybe different type of people. So I would say that if you if you get feeling you're not on the same page and you get feeling that maybe you're not taking care of your customer the way that you have been taking care of your customer, maybe you're having a problem delivering your product or services, maybe your profitability has gone down, maybe all of a sudden you're working harder and harder for less and less. So anytime you find yourself in one of those type of positions, I would reach out and say, is there a better way? Is there, you know, and I would tell you this, Will, the people that come for, you know, EOS and come and are looking for help are normally the better companies. These are companies that say, you know what, we really want to be the best. Every company has issues. Every company has problems. But it's those who are willing to recognize them, lean into them, face into them and say, you know what, we have grown. We are better. We have good people. We just want to learn how to do it better and learn how to work smarter. And if there's someone that can help us, that they're open-minded and willing to come back and ask for help.
Well, Jim, you've used the word, the term hitting the ceiling several times. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to be hitting the ceiling?
Did you ever hit the ceiling in your company? Oh, several times. In fact, if you don't hit the ceiling, you're probably not growing, okay? So I think it's kind of funny because sometimes people say, you know, hitting a ceiling, it's like it's a bad thing, but it's actually a very natural thing, okay? Hitting the ceiling is just that feeling like you're stuck and you can't get unstuck. And again, what I referenced before, all of a sudden, maybe things seem like they're very, very complex. You're unable to take care of your customer. You're unable to take care of some of the profits that are falling. So getting stuck is more a feeling that things are just not working right. They're too complicated. You're becoming disconnected. Maybe tempers are flaring. So hitting the ceiling basically means that it's time to do something different. Every company they're growing will hit the ceiling several times in their lifetime. There was actually a book in the 60s written, I think it was called How Organizations Really Grow. And they found out that organizations don't go straight line. What they do is they go through periods of evolution and revolution. So they evolve to a certain point, and then all of a sudden they hit one of those barriers to growth, or they hit those hit the ceiling, and all of a sudden they've got to do something different. They've got to either hire different people, new people. Basically, what I would say is they've got to go back and strengthen the six key components. But if they don't do something different, what happens is they got three choices. One is they could flatline. They won't get beyond that, and things are just going to drift down, and they'll just flatline for a while. Many of them fail. I mean, people wonder why, what is it, 50 or 75% of businesses fail within the first 5 years. A lot of times it's because they didn't master the ability to navigate. The other choice, and the best choice, I think, is to go back and say, what do we need to do to break through this ceiling so that what do we need to do? How do we need to grow? What do we need to change so that we can actually grow on, get past this and get to a larger company? So if you're a 25-person company, you want to get to a 50-person company or 50 to 100, you just simply say, you know what? We'll do whatever it takes. We just need for someone to come in and show us what it takes to get there. Because for a lot of people, don't forget, they haven't done this before. They're charting new territory. That's why sometimes you need help from people who have been there and done that, so to speak.
Well, Jim, we're going to take a little break right here and hear from some of our sponsors. But can you stick around? And I want to talk to you. I want you to tell me a little bit about the relationship between Vistage and EOS.
Sure.
We'll be right back. Right back after a short break here with the Pilgrim on the 405.
It's time for another tip from Sandler Training. Traditional sales training teaches techniques on how to eliminate stalls and objections. Some are fancy sales moves, while others are programmed responses. Sales is a conversation, and I don't know how you can memorize every possible response for every sales situation. Also, the prospect has usually heard these responses before and has been turned off by some fancy sales move. When you really think about it, the only person qualified to address the stall or objection is the prospect. Ask the right questions and you will eliminate stalls and objections. And that's another tip from Sandler Training, finding power through reinforcement.
All right, let's pick it back up with Will and his guest.
Well, here we are back at Pilgrim on the 405, and we've been interviewing Jim Jelinek from Cleveland, Ohio, who is an expert implementer for the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And Jim helps company owners and leaders get what they want from their businesses, which is very important. That's a big part of what we're looking for here is examples of how businesses thrive in California. So, Jim, you mentioned that you were a Vistage coach as well as an EOS implementer. How do these work together? Or do businesses choose between Vistage and EOS?
Both. They're both excellent systems. Vistage is an outstanding organization I'm proud to be associated with. I was a member for 13 years before I became a chair. So I will tell you, it actually made me a better leader many, many ways. So in my view, they are totally complementary. They complement each other perfectly. Vistage actually works with the CEO, the owner, and the president, and exposes them to a wide range of business topics, such as pricing, negotiations, high-performance team development, strategy and execution. And basically, what it does is, Vistage is an organization where you can bring any issue, challenge, or opportunity to a board of advisors, a board of peers, that can actually help you to navigate all of the challenges that we face in the world today. So Vistage actually gets at a very high level and kind of exposes you to all of the issues and helps you work through them. EOS is complementary to that because it helps come in and work with the team to give you the ability to execute on all the things that you learn in Vistage. So what I've seen in my organization is, I would say in my group, there's about 25%, maybe 30% have very, very strong teams. So they take the things that they learn in Vistage and they work with their teams and they're able to execute very well. Then there's probably about 75% that basically are in the process of strengthening their teams. They are trying to get what we call a high performance team, which can take years to build. So EOS comes in and helps strengthen that team. So instead of taking, 5 years or 6 years or 10 years to build a high performance team, you can get it done in 2. And I don't think I need to tell you how much difference that can make if you can execute much faster, especially in the world today. So basically, I believe that an organization would be good to do both. And so, I have several that do that.
All right. So do you find that there are companies where the CEO has been involved with Vistage, and then when they choose to start EOS, that they drop out of Vistage?
And that has not happened to me. So I'm sure that may have happened. But the ones that have started on Vistage and they're actually doing both and successfully. And the reason is both of these things should basically pay for themselves. Yes, there's some investment, but you would not want to do Vistage or EOS unless you got a payback. And that payback is in terms of either profitability, less frustration, growth, and this type of thing. So basically what I have seen is when the people who get involved in the programs, they see the benefits and they say, this is not an expense, this is an investment for which I get a return on money. In my business practice, I always tell people, if you and I cannot sit down and find where you can make at least a 3 to 10 times rate of return on your investment, then why would you want to do this? And I will tell you from my personal experience in 13 years, my rate of return on investment was off the charts in terms of Vistage. Same with EOS. What I've seen companies do when they can do this, these things pay for themselves many, many, many times over.
All right.
But I'm sure there may be some that choose one or the other one. I've also talked to some EOS implementers that have told me that they actually have seen that some of people start with EOS, and then after 2 years, if they've graduated, now they're saying, wow, now that we've got a good team, they will actually join Vistage. Mm-hmm. So what I've heard more of is starting with EOS, and then they realize that they don't have everything they need in-house. It's okay. It's good to get outside people and learn from others, and then they go and find Vistage as a way to continue the learning process.
So EOS, companies in EOS can actually, this process can actually be a feeder for Vistage coaches, chairs.
I think my experience tells me that it would be an excellent progression. It would be an excellent progression. I don't think that I've seen in my career two systems that work as well together. And I was 33 years at the company that I ran and then sold, and I've been doing this for six, so I've been around for a little while. And in my entire career, Vistage, EOS, and I guess the name of the third thing is Lean, all the Lean programs. Those are probably the three best things that I've seen that actually, over the long term, truly have impact.
All right, so tell me a little bit, go in a little more detail about how Vistage and EOS support each other.
They support each other in the fact that I look at the Vistage as kind of giving width. It gives a CEO a much broader view of what's possible, what can be done. It helps them to avoid being blindsided, how to manage change. Vistage will help you in managing change, in deal with conflict, and deal with some of the isolation. You know, being a CEO is tough. We call it lonely at the top, so it's good to be in there with your peers. So it gives you a lot of vision and insight into a lot of things in business you might not have thought about. And yes, we do talk about execution, this type of thing, and a lot of detailed things, but it's also the vision. That's what helped me with the vision that I saw of things that I never would have been exposed to, which really helped me to grow my business, especially in today when you have changes occurring now at a rate that I've never seen in my life. I think we all know that. So in the old days, things maybe changed every 10 years. Now they change every 10 months. Mm-hmm. So Vistage gave me the ability to go back and navigate some of those. So, EOS simply allows me to come in and allows my members and my clients to come in and teach their team and bring that leadership team up to speed as far as being a good high-performance operating team. And again, once the team is there, then the whole organization will follow. So maybe I'm talking roundabout a little bit, but that they just complement each other. I think one is more width and one is depth.
So let me see if I understand. Would you say that Vistage is more of a coaching program for either the CEO or key members of the leadership team, coaching for them individually as well as putting them in a peer group where they can they can exchange ideas, but essentially it is aimed at helping that one leader become more effective?
Yeah, I would focus more on the peer advisory board. There is a coaching element, to be sure, but it's really the peer advice. The power is in the group.
Okay.
The group learns from each other. There's a biblical saying that as iron sharpens iron, so let one man sharpen another, okay? Mm-hmm. And what happens in the peer group is I think that's where the real power is, that they learn from each other, they challenge each other, we hold each other accountable, and there is an element of coaching also. But to your point, Will, yes, it does focus primarily on the owner, the CEO, and the entrepreneur. Now, there is a program invested for key executives, and that would be that would be a direct report of the CEO. And there is a program to help develop the direct reports of the CEO called the Key Executive Program, which also is excellent and is also very complementary to the EOS process. So you're also trying to develop the CEOs and maybe one report under him.
So let me see if I understand this. Then it's the function of the group to help each of its members to become more effective individually.
Yes.
All right.
We are there to chair the meetings. We are not consultants. We are there to chair and facilitate. And the power is really in the magic happens when you get the group together. And it really does. It's just amazing what I've benefited from and what I've learned. But yes, it focuses on those folks.
And the effect of the magic is to make that individual leader more effective.
Yes, with the idea that if he's more effective, he can help his team, yes.
Right. And then EOS, on the other hand, focuses on the leadership team and then ultimately the entire organization transforming that.
Yes.
So I see a complement, there's some complementarity there between if you have effective individual leaders – they may or may not know how to work on a team, right?
Yeah, I see it all. I see some that are very good and some that need help.
Right. It's the ones who do not know how to work on a team.
Right.
I mean, in a given organization,
yep.
if if you don't have 100% of the leaders at first, of the leadership team, knowing how to function well as a team, then EOS can help.
Yes. And it, from the beginning of getting the right people on the team, getting the right people in the room, mm-hmm. maybe getting the wrong people out of the room, and then once you get the right people in the room, teach them how to really be a team. And that takes a little bit of time. There's, you know, how to become a high-performance team. So EOS is excellent at teaching that team how to work together and have trust and open and honest dialogue and some of this type of thing.
And I find that very interesting. I mean, if we combined EOS and Vistage and then perhaps a coach for individual leaders, I mean, we're focusing on making that individual very effective, and then we're sharing with them the perspective of a large number of his or her peers, and then finally we're helping every member of that organization to become much more effective as a member of a team. It seems to me that those three things working together can really provide a rocket ship kind of experience for companies.
Well said. In fact, in EOS, we actually kind of draw a little thing with three circles just like that. We say that we really feel, and I believe 100%, that CEO, owner, entrepreneur, we always say surround yourself by good people. I've heard that since I was a kid. It's so very true. Is if you could have the, as you suggested, have the coach, the peer advisory board, like a Vistage, an operating system like EOS, then you have the complete package, I believe. And you said it better than I can. So,
well, one of the things that I'm very aware of here in Orange County, that I think we have 40 to 50 Vistage groups that are active mm-hmm. at any one time. And, mm-hmm. and they're very effective at helping people to become, as you said, to become much more effective as leaders individually. And very effective in helping leaders to get beyond that being lonely at the top, because now they're relating to peers. They could probably, at least in my experience with Vistage, we were able to share things that we couldn't share with other people and get feedback on them, and found out that we're not the only one who is having those kind of feelings.
Right. Yeah, Vistage is the one place that you can have, it's the one safe place where you as a CEO can go in there and say, you know, maybe I don't have all the answers, but I'm going to surround myself with people, and together we can find all the answers. I've seen remarkable things happen in Vistage, in my Vistage groups that I was in as a member, and even in the groups that I have right now. Mm-hmm. I've seen people become very, very good leaders. We've saved companies millions. They've overcome tough challenges to come back and become stronger. So, yeah, it's very remarkable, which is why I've been around it for almost 20 years.
Right. And then adding the layer of EOS can then extend to not only initially to the leadership team, helping them to become a firm, supportive, active, effective team, and then to extend that down through the rest of the organization. So, in effect, the entire organization becomes this healthy, functioning team itself, moving toward its vision. Is that right?
Right, and that's the idea, is you want to get everybody 100% on the same page, moving toward the common goal. And that, you know, they have to know what the goal is, but you want everybody moving toward the common goal. And that way everybody is engaged, everybody is happy, everybody realizes that they have a shared fate, that they all want to meet the goal together, and then they all want to benefit from it. But just imagine all that energy when everybody's rowing in the same direction.
And so for Vistage chairs who, when they see organizations that are dysfunctional, even though they might have a very effective leader, CEO, or a couple of very effective key members of that organization, if they see dysfunction there, they might want to introduce them to EOS. Does that make sense?
Well, that I believe so. I certainly believe so. I think that... they have to realize that Vistage does a great, great job. And but if you find something complimentary that could help as well, we're all there to help our members. So I have found that that's what I did. I introduced my members to, in fact, there are some speakers Vistage has speakers come in once a month, and they're just outstanding speakers, by the way. Their speakers bureau is unparalleled. It's off the charts. And there are some actually EOS implementers who are very, very outstanding who actually come in to speak to Vistage groups. That's actually how I became exposed to EOS, was a Vistage speaker came in and talked to my group about EOS.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. Well, tell me a couple of stories about some significant changes in companies that you have experienced in EOS.
Well, the first one that comes to mind, in EOS or in Vistage?
In EOS.
EOS. Probably one I could think about is where there was everything's confidential, so I have to be kind of very, very careful here. So, but one company, they implemented EOS.
This was a company in California, right? Southern California. Southern California. No. Manufacturing. No,
it's somewhere. It's somewhere, somewhere, somehow, someplace, okay? But anyway, they started implementing EOS, and within about 6 months came back and said, you know, we put a significant amount, just by the changes that they made in terms of getting, they got some people off the bus, so to speak, got some new people in. They got, those people were able to go back and do a lot of good things with processes and procedures. They were able to land some accounts. But they estimated that within less than a year, they actually added $700,000 to the bottom line.
Wow.
But the main thing was a lot less frustration. That's the other thing. I talked to them, and they said that the frustration level went from a 10 to about a 4, which is kind of normal frustration just in any business.
Amazing, amazing. And that allowed them to make some very significant changes, right?
Yes.
Wow. All right. Any other stories?
See, off the cuff, not that I could think of. Some of the ones that I see right now, the main thing that I see is the teams, when I facilitate some of these meetings, is I see the teams are having discussions they wouldn't have had otherwise. So there's a couple of companies I'm thinking about right now, and they walk out of the meeting at the end of the day and they're saying, we've never had discussions like that ever. And now they're having honest discussions, telling each other what they feel, open and honest. And, for example, one of the companies recently just said that they would have rated their meetings on a scale of 1 to 10 at maybe a 4, okay? And they just last week had a meeting, and they told me, they said, you know, we've been doing this for a few weeks now, and the meeting we had today, we'll call a level 10 meeting, they rated it as a 9. But just having meetings that are effective and not a waste of time, and then going out and getting things done. That's pretty typical. They just start getting things done.
Wow. So how do people make meetings more effective? What does EOS contribute to?
We have what they call a level 10 meeting. And the level 10 meeting, basically, that would mean getting your meeting to a 10 out of 10. And there's a couple of things that are very critical to a level 10 meeting. First, it has to appear in the same day, same time, same agenda. So that it basically is part of your routine, and there's no deviation from this. And the leadership team is there. The team is there. From there, they have a set agenda. So you start off with the first thing is with a segue. And a segue is kind of a few minutes, talk about good news, to get your mind from in the business to on the business. Then they have what they call the reporting section, and they go through and they report on what they call their scorecard and their rocks. And scorecard is basically whatever things they want to measure. So what are we really tracking? What are our KPIs or what do we want to measure? And so we have a pulse on the business. And rocks are the priorities. What are the priorities we have to get done? So they spend about 5 minutes on the segue, which is the good news. Then 15 minutes, 5 minutes to report on their scorecard. Everybody has a measurable, and it's reported and tracked. And then they have the priorities. Are we hitting our priorities? And then they talk about customer headlines. Make sure your customers are happy and your employees are happy. And that's just a 15 minutes of reporting. Then they go through the to-do items from last week. And these are 7 to 10 day items. And they try to make sure we're clearing off about 90% of those to-do items on a regular basis every week. Then anytime, but the reporting is very simple. It's, did I get it done or not done? On track, off track. Anytime that if it's off track, we don't discuss it right there. We go down to what they call the IDS or the issue processing section. And anything that's off track, or if a customer had an issue, it would go into 1 hour, which would be to what they call IDS it, which is identify the issue, discuss it, and solve it. So there's a lot of time spent on identifying issues right there, dealing with them right then, and actually come up with an action plan to solve them. So once that's done, you're actually solving the issues, and some of those issues become, they all become action plans and go onto the to-do list. So it's very focused on getting things done. And then at that point in time, you review the next steps. You see who, you know, who else we have to notify, or what they call cascading the messages. And then we conclude, and they actually rate the meeting. And the reason to rate the meeting is to keep, you know, kind of a self quality control check. Are we doing, you know, are we keeping these at a level 10 meeting? So 90 minute meeting once a week, same time, same day, same agenda, same format. And it's all business. It's all based on getting things done.
Isn't that a long time to spend 90 minutes in a meeting?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. That was my first thought when I first saw it, too. And you think, wow, that's a lot of time. But then I realized in my company, what I have been doing is we had a lot of ad hoc meetings. So I spent a lot of time out there and saying, you know, did you get this done? Did you get that done? Or we had a lot of people were chasing people to see if it got done and things didn't get done. And if it slipped, we tried to be understanding. So it kind of was a little looser than we thought. So we found out that it was actually more time, it saved time to just get everybody together, everybody's on the same page, and basically everybody comes in, they report. They do their own report. So basically, in that 1 hour and a half to get all these things solved, then when everybody goes out, they can just do their job. They don't have to go back and, we call it keeping the circles connected, okay? This is a good way to keep the circles connected so that you have enough communication that you know what everybody's doing, and yet you're not smothering each other. So I could spend an hour and a half in a meeting, and then basically the rest of the week, I was able to go back and do CEO or president things and not have to go back and chase things. And my direct reports could go back and they could do you know, their things and help look toward the future, get anything set up for productivity improvements, new customers. So because everybody had time, because everybody knew that the other people were doing their jobs, that one meeting is the old thing, a stitch in time saves nine. That 90 minutes saved, you know, nine times that, or a lot more in that time, in not having all the ad hoc meetings and chasing things down.
Good. Well, Jim, this has been very, very helpful and explaining what EOS is and the relationship to Vistage, and then also giving encouragement to companies who are hitting the ceiling, who are finding that place where things are confusing, even though they try harder, that they're really not making the kind of progress that they want to make. This has been really helpful. EOS, as I understand it, is a worldwide movement, right?
Yes.
And so there are implementers in all around, every state, different countries around the world?
Yeah, if somebody's interested, what I would tell them to do is just basically Google EOS Worldwide. And if you go on there, navigate the site, it's very easy. You'll find a thing called a directory, okay? It says find an implementer. Just click on find an implementer, and then you go to the state. And if you go to the state, it's pretty easy to go back. And I'm not a computer genius. Even I can do it. So it's pretty simple, which I like. So you can just go onto the website and find an implementer right off of there. And there's a bio on there and contact information. So you can read a little history of all of the implementers, and you can go from there.
Good. So if somebody wanted to explore EOS, I understand you mentioned the book Traction, right?
Yes.
And you get, I assume you get Traction on Amazon.
Yes. There's several books. Traction is one. Rocket Fuel is another one. Get a Grip. I would just go to Amazon and Google and put in Traction, and you see all the other books come up. And they're excellent. The books are really excellent.
All right. So we could get, somebody could get information by looking at Traction or any of the other books, Get a Grip, Rocket Fuel. And they can also then follow up by going to EOSWorldwide.com. And taking
yes.
a look at, I understand that there's a wealth of information there available for people on the website.
Actually, all the tools are actually available. You can actually, you know, just, the tools are all available on there, and there is a wealth of information. So,
so they could also look at the directory if they wanted to talk to somebody. And my experience in talking to various implementers is this is not a hard sell. Nobody's trying to sell anything. The implementer is really trying to look for companies who want help, right?
Right.
So that'd be a very low-risk thing to do, would be to get onto EOS Worldwide and find an implementer within traveling distance, or maybe pick up the phone and call them and talk with them about the issues that a business owner is having.
Right, I agree.
Well, very helpful, Jim. Thank you very much for being with us all the way from Cleveland, Ohio, helping businesses in Southern California thrive.
Okay, thanks, Will.
Thank you.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.